Hey, Tammuz, Simon Kuf Samech Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, we're going to Kuf Samech Gimel, Halacha Dalet. Now, this is really interesting because first of all, we're starting Hilchos Milah, but before that, we're finishing the Halachas of Tvila. And this always mystified me, and I still don't have clarity. So, anyone that could help, I'll be extremely grateful. Basically, what the Kitta teaches us is you have to be very careful when it comes to the rivers. You have to think, the Karastir and all the different European shtetls, usually they didn't always have mikvahs. And then maybe many times they didn't have mikvahs, they had rivers. And certainly the rivers weren't heated up. And you know, all these stories you hear of Moshe Feinz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, you know, there's a big space between of David and of Zecher Tzadik Ben Ravuven, Sheikhye, Ibadel Chaim Toim, 10 years, I think, because there was no mikveh to go and the rivers were frozen. But besides that, there's a rule. The rule is like this. When it comes to rainwater, or let's say snow, water that melted from snow, and many times here in Muncie, for example, you have a lot of these different brooks and lakes, and what else? You have willow tree lakes, for example. So the halacha is the following. If it's, or all the seven lakes, the beautiful, amazing places that you could hike, etc., that we have here in the north part of, let's say, from Muncie. So the rule is the following. Mikveh means by definition gathered water. So if you have rainwater and it's gathered, great. But the big question is, so what's gathered? If it's moving, it's a problem. Well, what's considered moving? You'll have in the seven lakes around us, they seem to be steady, yet there's definitely a place where it's seeping out. So what's the definition of contained? That's number one. Does it have to be really fully contained, or what the fact if it's seeping through in some level, it's just not detectable? I did see a rule that when it comes to a mikveh, that there's actually, it has to be what's called nicker, and it means it has to be recognizable. According to that, it would seem that there are certain lakes that are recognizably stationary. Let's say Willow Tree Park right here, I don't think it's stationary. It looks somewhat stationary, but it certainly is flowing over. And this applies to the question also of being Teva Kalim. So it seems that the Velt is the people are lenient with that regard because maybe it is considered stationary. But there's even a deeper question. If it's not gathered water that you're relying on, so then what is it? It's called Mei Mayan, spring water, or waters that come from the underground. So the rule is the following. And that's what the Kitzur says. He says, look, there's rivers. And these rivers, if they're becoming bigger because of the rainwater, that's a problem because they're moving. These rivers are moving, they're not stationary. So you're relying on the fact that they're Mei Mayan, that they're spring water. Well, it doesn't, so how are you gonna identify that? Now you could say, well, listen, most of the water is coming from the underground. Well, how do you identify that? So one of the ways of identifying is just simply seeing if it ever dries up. I heard Bishama Belsky, he said that if a river is doesn't dry up within 3 days, I mean, if there's no rain for 3 days, you could assume that the river is good enough. And I think he wasn't talking about women going to the mikveh, I think regarding Canaan. And that was, you'll find that in many different camps that have these lakes. Question is, sometimes there's purely man-made lakes, and if they're moving, then again, that's hard to say that's okay. What's fascinating to me is I think recently, just now, they announced that they just are discovering more and more about the core of the earth and how there's more water in the core of the earth than there is above the earth, which would be fascinating because that's really what this whole thing is based on. As the Kitzur points out, that many of the waters and rivers are really the moisture and the water is really seeping from underground. So that would be a tremendous, so to speak, room to be melamed zchus. Based on everything I just said, and as complicated and as fascinating as it sounds, this is the reason why if a person it has a mikveh around them, definitely it should use a mikveh. And there's Baruch Hashem friendly enough mikvahs that you could find that you could be happy and satisfied. If a person's on vacation and there's only an ocean, those are the special situations that a person could be lenient with. The laws, stam in general, of a mikveh itself also have to be by an expert, because I've had even situations where a simple thing that a person never realized, and they were using the mikveh for women, they discovered that something they did, they put the pipe in the heating or in the mikshamim. Whatever the situation may be, it definitely requires an expert to make sure, A, that it's okay, that it's built in a proper way, and B, that it's still sustained and being checked. And now we start Hilchos Mila. The mitzvah is a positive commandment to a father to circumcise his son. And if he's not going to do it, so he honors and makes a messenger, meaning a shaliach. And that's the reason why it's a necessity for the father to make sure that he's telling the moiho, the circumciser, that he's making him into shaliach. There's also a custom too, as a kitzur points out, to place the father places the child on the lap of the sandak. So the sandak, there's really essentially three main, at least, partners in this whole mitzvah: the sandak, the moel, and the father. The father also gives over the izmiz, the knife, to the moel, and he tells him to make a shaliach, and he stands there to show, that has to be signified and symbolize that he's a shaliach. And in between, now the custom is, Sfaradim are different than the order that the Ashkenazim do. They make the brachas before. Ashkenazim do the bracha in between what's called the actual chituch, the cutting of the yarla, of the foreskin, and then the priya. Basically, so what happens is, the moel makes the bracha, Hashem Gdisham Zayla Mila, and then the father makes a bracha, Lachnisa B'lisa Shavom Avinu. Many a lot of Torahs exactly. This is a bracha, Birkas HaMitzvah. The second bracha is more of a Birkas HaShevach, meaning a praise. And the kids goes on to explain how important it is to pick a sandik that's a tzaddik, a moel that's a tzaddik. But at the end of the day, a person has to be very careful because Shalom Bayis comes first. Rabbi Yashiv actually held that in, even in regard to names, that there's nothing more important than Chazal say this Gadol HaShalom. Many times it's unfortunate that in such a special simcha, instead of it being a simcha, it ends up being one of the biggest fights in the world and splits families. There's another interesting halacha that if a father honored a moel once, he shouldn't change from that moel unless there's a real concern of the performance of the moel. Otherwise, he should keep it so much to the degree that if he had someone, it's actually based on the pasuk Sheris Yisrael Yas Avla Leida B'chaz. I mean, to keeping your word, sticking to who your moel is. Is part of keeping your word, which is interesting. And the ramifications are that even if a person had someone and they thought, then they appointed someone else because they thought the first guy wasn't around. Happens sometimes. And then the original moel says, no, I am available. You go with the original moel. A nice minig that everyone stands by the meal. It's interesting. It's not by accident. When you walk into a meal, circumcision, everyone's standing. The only one that's sitting is a sandek. And by the way, the sandek is like makiv d'ktiris. It's like the bringing the incense in the Beis Hamikdash. This is a reason why there's a custom not to give the sandikos to more than one of your children, because since sandikos is like Taurus, it says it makes you rich. So someone has sandikos becomes rich, and therefore you try to give it to spread the wealth, literally spread the wealth. There's an interesting, I once heard, I think B'Shem of Kirega, that he held that sandikos means you pay for the whole meal. And that's the reason why sometimes you'll find that people get sandikos and not necessarily do they turn rich. A moel has to know the laws of mila, of course, and he has to make sure that the child is healthy, and the mialedes also has to tell me, the woman has to make sure that there was no problems with the child, because if the child is not well, so then you postpone. It's more important to postpone the mila than to take a chance, because chas v'shalom pikuach nefesh is doich everything other than the three big three averes. And even when they heal, sometimes you wait 7 days until the 8th day, and whenever that happens, it will many times end up that it, if it comes out in Shabbos, you push it off. In fact, some poskim hold, I saw the Sfaradim, I think, more marked than not doing it on Thursday and Friday, meaning once it's pushed off, so they'll move it. That's why many times you have a bris on Sunday. And especially if there's a concern of Chilul Shabbos, that's also a consideration. Big shayla, if someone knows that the family coming is going to be Michal Shabbos, should they push it off to Sunday? But in general, we keep it. If it's really the 8th day, meaning if a baby's born on Shabbos, 8th day means the 8th day, since the time it was born, so you're counting the day that it was born to. So the 8th day, like Sunday, is to Sunday. So the 8th day is Shabbos. So the halacha is that you would be doich Shabbos doich yantif. But once it was pushed off, it won't be doich Shabbos or yantif.